Will that be okay? Yeah. Oh, so the other thing I need to maybe advise you all is for those who clean the meditation hall, this morning or this afternoon, we had our first one. So we didn't know that this place is very cold. So whatever flooring that is already wet, it's very difficult to dry. Understand? So don't use wet mop. Understand? If you want, you go and wet it a little bit, but not too much. Yeah? Then maybe mop outside first, until it's more dry. Then you bring it in and mop. So try not to wet this place because the timber absorb a bit of water. It's supposed to be dry mop. So while people are mopping outside, they can sweep. After you sweep, just what they call simple mop. We need a little bit of moisture to get rid of the whatever dust. We try tomorrow, then see how it goes. Because every day is a different table, isn't it? Yeah? So you got to try it out. Then where the mop is, I think the person in charge already know. You have to let those on duty know. Then try to do it faster but mindfully. I think it can be done. So for those who are assigned the duty, you may need to adjust your time. If you really need to have a bath or go and change or whatever, you go ahead. Means you will be late, it's okay. But if you can, try to adjust, because when you are here, it's more important that you develop the training to be mindful and do the meditation. Other things, try to simplify it, try to shorten it. I understand that some of your ladies, when you take bath, it's not so fast and so easy. You need to dry your hair and all those things. But you need to adjust a bit, adjust a bit. The other good way is also, if you can, well, the weather here is really good, you wait till at night, then you bath. Or early morning when you wake up earlier, have your bath. These are the ways that you can adjust. But I leave it to you. If you really need it, to do it in the afternoon, because when the sun is up, especially today, you may need to have a bath. I leave it to you. Okay, now it's exactly 7:30. We can do the evening chanting. So I need Joyce. Where is Joyce? Come. Together with Chui and maybe Li Hun. I also forgot how the evening chanting is like already. This one is the Nanacha. Turn to page 8 and 9. Okay, we get Joyce and Chui and Li Hun there to lead us. Also Sue also. Sue also can help. Okay, you all can use my mic if you want. Okay. Do we have to do the respect first? You will start with what? Dedication of offering, is it? Okay. So we follow Joyce there. Page 8 is in Pali, but we are going to use the English translation, page 9, so that you all understand what we chant. Okay. Now we will start. Okay, Joyce? Never mind, you all used to the Achalo style, it's okay, Joyce. we all help you, strongly behind. It's something like that, is that? To the blessed one, to the blessed one, Chui is good, Okay, can, Okay, Chui, you use my mic. I got two. Okay, Joyce, start.
Testing. Dedication of offerings. To the blessed one, the Lord, who fully attained perfect enlightenment, to the teaching which he expounded so well, to the blessed one, disciples who have practiced well, to this, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, we render with offerings our rightful homage. It is well for us that the blessed one, having attained liberation, still has compassion for later generations. May this simple offering be accepted for our long-lasting benefit and for the happiness it gives us. The Lord, the perfectly enlightened and the blessed one, I render homage to the Buddha, the blessed one.
Okay, homage.
The teaching so completely explained by him, I bow to the Dhamma. The blessed one's disciples who have practiced well, I bow to the Sangha. Preliminary homage. Now let us pray preliminary homage to the Buddha.
Homage to the blessed, noble, and perfectly enlightened one. Homage to the blessed, noble, and perfectly enlightened one. Homage to the blessed, noble, and perfectly enlightened one.
Recollection of the Buddha. Now let us chant the recollection of the Buddha. A good word of the blessed one's reputation has spread as follows. He, the blessed one, is indeed the pure one, the perfectly enlightened one. He is impeccable in conduct and understanding, the accomplished one, the knower of the worlds. He trains perfectly those who wish to be trained. He is teacher of gods and human. He is awake and holy.
Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Buddha.
The Buddha, the truly worthy one, endowed with such excellent qualities, whose being is composed of purity, transcendental wisdom and compassion, who has enlightened the wise like the sun, awakening the lotus. I bow my head to that peaceful chief of conquerors, the Buddha, who is the safe, secure refuge of all beings. As the first object of recollection, I venerate him with bowed head. I am indeed the Buddha's servant. The Buddha is my Lord and guide. The Buddha is sorrow destroyer, who bestows blessings on me. To the Buddha I dedicate this body and life. And in devotion, I walk the Buddha's path of awakening. For me, there is no other refuge. The Buddha is my excellent refuge.
By the utterance of this truth,
May I grow in the Master's way by my devotion to the Buddha and the blessings of this practice. By his power, may all obstacles be overcome.
By body, speech, or mind, for whatever wrong action I have committed towards the Buddha, may my acknowledgement of fault be accepted, that in the future there may be restraint regarding the Buddha. Now let us chant the recollection of the Dhamma.
The Dhamma is well expounded by the Blessed One, apparent here and now, timeless, encouraging investigation, leading inwards to be experienced individually by the wise.
Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Dhamma.
It is excellent because it is well expounded, and it can be divided into path and fruit, practice and liberation. The Dhamma holds those who uphold it from falling into delusion. I revere the excellent teaching, that which removes darkness. The Dhamma, which is the supreme, secure refuge of all beings, as the second object of recollection, I venerate it with bowed head. I am indeed the Dhamma servant. The Dhamma is my Lord and Guide. The Dhamma is sorrow destroyer, and it bestows blessings on me. To the Dhamma I dedicate this body and life, and in devotion I will walk this excellent way of truth. For me there is no other refuge. The Dhamma is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth, may I grow in the Master's way. By my devotion to the Dhamma and the blessings of this practice, by its power, may all obstacles be overcome.
Okay, then bowing. Then in the bowing posture, you recite this.
By body, speech, or mind, for whatever wrong action I have committed towards the Dhamma, may my acknowledgement of fault be accepted, that in future they may be restrained regarding the Dhamma.
Now let us chant the recollection of the Sangha.
They are the blessed ones, disciples who have practiced well, who have practiced directly, who have practiced insightfully, those who practice with integrity. That is the four paths, the eight kinds of noble beings. These are the blessed ones, disciples. Such ones are worthy of gifts, worthy of hospitality, worthy of offerings, worthy of respect. They give occasions for incomparable goodness to arise in the world.
Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Sangha.
Born of the Dhamma, that Sangha which has practiced well, the field of the Sangha form of eight kinds of noble beings, guided in body and mind by excellent morality and virtue. I revere that assembly of noble beings, perfected in purity, the Sangha which is the supreme secure refuge of all beings. As the third object of recollection, I venerate it with bowed head. I am indeed the Sangha servant. The Sangha is my Lord and Guide. The Sangha is sorrow's destroyer, and it bestows blessings on me. To the Sangha, I dedicate this body and life, and in devotion I will walk the well-practiced way of the Sangha. For me there is no other refuge. The Sangha is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth, may I grow in the Master's way. By my devotion to the Sangha
and the blessings of this practice. By its power, may all obstacles be overcome.
By body, speech, and mind,
for whatever wrong actions I have committed towards the Sangha, may my acknowledgement of fault be accepted, that in the future there may be restraint regarding the Sangha.
Okay, we're supposed to have silent meditation practice, then followed by a Dhamma talk, and the ending with the following. Okay, it's okay. We can do the closing homage now. We do the Pali one. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Then you bow to the Buddha. You go for refuge. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhamma namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho sanghang namami. Okay. So we have finished the evening chanting. Okay, I just turn to the page that I told you about the food. The food which I think they have to contemplate on. It should be at the back. Page 36, is it? Ah, okay. Reflection on the four requisite. Okay. I will read to you this four requisite when the monk received them. This one are the requisite. Where is the other one on food one? 36 and 39 is the five daily contemplation. Got. The second one is the armed food. Okay, I will read to you. Reflection on the four requisites. This one the monk need to reflect daily. 36. Wisely reflecting, I use the rope only to ward off cold, to ward off heat, to ward off touch of flies, mosquito, wind burning, and creepy things, only for the sake of modesty. So this is the first reflection, the rope that they receive. So this rope is to help the monks, or the Sangha members, to ward off cold and to ward off heat and to ward off touch of fly, mosquito, wind, burning and creeping things, only for the sake of modesty. Then the second one is wisely reflecting. I use alms food. This one is what you need to reflect on. But because you are not monk, you can modify it a bit. Not for fun, not for pleasure, not for fattening or indulgence, not for beautification, only for the maintenance and sustenance and nourishment of this body, for keeping it healthy, for helping with the holy life, means to help you to cultivate, to practice. Thinking thus, I will allay hunger without overeating, so that I may continue to live blamelessly and at ease. So this one is for them to reflect. But you can also, when you make the what they call blessings, or when you reflect on this food, you can include that part that I share with you. You rejoice with the wholesomeness of all those who have made this food possible. You rejoice with their generosity, their wholesomeness, their good intention. Then you can invoke, may the power of this wholesomeness, which is together with your rejoicing, bring about the causes and conditions for them to realize their good and noble wishes. So that part will help the people who offer. So that part is the one that I add in for you. Then the third reflection is on the place they stay. Wisely reflecting, I use the lodging only to ward off cold, to ward off heat, to ward off touch of fly, mosquito, wind, burning and creeping things, only to remove the danger from weather and for living in seclusion. That is the shelter that is being offered. Then last one is medicine and all those things. Wisely reflecting, I use support for the sick and medicinal requisites, only to ward off painful feelings that have arisen for the maximum freedom from disease. So these are the Buddha's advice. Then of course the next one is the 32 part and all those things, and they are more for the monks. Then you have, there are 10 things that they have to reflect on somewhere. Okay, page 40. 40. The 10 subject for frequent reflection by one who has gone forth means who has become a monk, who has renounced. So this one is very useful too. The first one is bhikkhus. There are 10 dhammas which should be reflected upon again and again, the Buddha said, by one who has gone forth. What are these 10? The first one is, I am no longer living according to worldly aims and value. This should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone forth. So for this retreat, it's like you have semi gone forth, except you didn't shave your hair. But you are on strict retreat practices and cultivation. So actually, you should reflect on this. These few days at the retreat, I'm no longer living according to worldly aims and value. Understand? So don't go and think of money making and all those things, or worry about this, worry about that. You are here in Cameron Highland, you worry about your children back home. Understand? That is how thought creates anxiety, fear, restlessness, insecurity. Why not you tell yourself, the reality is, I am here, I have made the decision to come for this retreat, I will make full use of it. If there is any emergency, they will contact me, or if you can, you switch off your handphone, they will sort it out before you return. That is a bit too drastic. You will be scolded by whoever who cannot get you. So anyway, we have to adjust between worldly life and your spiritual need. You cannot be too carried away until you just want to shut it off. Unless your mind is very different, you have reached a point of cultivation where you know this is what you need, and then you shut everything down. I have done that before last time. I just shut it down. Then I just meditate. So that nobody can reach me and nobody can disturb me. But these are for people who has this special understanding from the past, that they know it's time to walk the way, it's time to cultivate, it's time to move. Then you can. Anyway, I leave it to you because it is your life. Okay. Then the next one is, you must reflect. My very life is sustained through the gift of others. This should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone forth. Means like the monk. They cannot have their own food. They need to go for pindapat. And this food need to be offered to them. Otherwise, according to the Patimokkha, the strict one, if you are not offered any food, you're supposed to go without food. Understand not? And I have heard from some Western monk, I remember Ajahn Jagaro. He told me out of his, you know, 20 years or one of monkhood or 20 plus years, he only got 1 or 2 days without offering. And he has to accept that reality. So it's not easy, you know. If you are a monk and there is no support coming, that's why a lot of young monk, junior monk, they are advised to stay at temple, understand? Where there is a lot of offering. Then after that, you slowly, slowly develop your ability to be independent, understand? Then it's up to you. Then you can join Dutanga, you can join whatever. So some monks, they move from place to place, monastery to monastery, especially those who wants to find out the different teachers' teaching, then they have more rounded exposure. Then they may be still searching for the right teacher that has the affinity and all those things. So different monks, they try different way. So this one is quite good. I am no longer living according to worldly aims and value. Then the other one is, my very life is sustained through the offering or gift of others. The third one is, I should strive to abandon my former habit. This is what you must do. Your former habit, the heedlessness, the conditioning, the wrong view, the reaction of mind, your preference, like and dislike, and all those things. Then you see your own inner defilement, how you can be easily agitated, disturbed by things that you don't like, or you believe to be wrong. So you will start to understand right and wrong, what are they, the meaning behind, right according to who, and all these things, through your reflection, contemplation and cultivation, you will start to understand these are all concepts, ideas and words created by thought to divide, to cause negativity, because you deludedly grasp onto it, thinking that there is a person inside there to own, to possess. That's how you have this egoic mind, the personality that condition you to have selfishness. Wanting to have things, wanting to own things, what do you do? You start to develop the aggressiveness of craving to have them, understand? And that is selfishness, craving. But you do it with understanding, you work towards the causes and conditions for it to arise, and then there is not craving, there is understanding. Understand? But because of your craving, your desire, and you just want it, then you aggressively pursue it without wanting to understand whether it is allowable or not, whether it is against the nature's law of karma or not, and then that constitutes craving, desire, delusion. Okay, then the next one. Does regard over my conduct arise in my mind? Regret. So you have to regret, not regard. I didn't bring my specs this time. I forgot my reading spec. That's why I got trouble reading. Then in the bus also, when I reach the shady place, I cannot see. Okay. Thus regret over my conduct arise in my mind. This one is very important. Do I have this regret arising in my mind? This should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone for. Means what? You already decide to renounce, understand, like this retreat. You already decide to commit yourself to this retreat. So you have this commitment that actually affirm your commitment to keep to the precept, to keep to the training, to develop the what they call meditation diligently, so that you can realize the noble aim and purpose of this retreat. But then as you go through the retreat, just like the monk, they sometimes violate or break some of the minor rules or monk's precepts. Then nothing they can do about except the mind will know. Personally, the mind will know. So does the mind regret over what they have done, their wrong conduct and all those things? So if this thing is reflected upon, then it does motivate you not to do it. Understand not? It will encourage you to be very, very determined and very serious. So does regret over my conduct arise in my mind? If you can cultivate until you are more or less perfect, you will never regret anything you do, because you have wisdom, you have goodness, kindness, virtue, understanding. So this should be reflected upon constantly. Then the next one, could my spiritual companion find fault with my conduct? So that the wise one don't blame you, understand not? Spiritual companion means those walking the path. Like Dhamma friends and cultivator. Then the next one is, this one you must constantly reflect. The five daily reflection is included, this one. All that is my beloved and pleasing will become otherwise, will become separated from me. That should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone for. So all this is regarding your loved one, possession, property, wealth, things that you think you own. They will separate from you sooner or later, because they were never yours in the very beginning. You cannot own anything, because even that body of yours doesn't belong to you. It goes the way of nature. Understand? Then we go to the next one. This one is also in the five daily contemplation. I am the owner of my karma. Means I am born of my karma, heir to my karma, related to my karma, abide and supported by my karma. Whatever karma I shall do for good or for bad, of that I will be the heir. See, you inherit them. This should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone for. This is right view, right understanding, with regards to the law of karma. Then the next day is, the days and nights are relentlessly passing. How well am I spending my time? This should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone for. So even this retreat is the same. Our first day is ending. Then by tomorrow, like this one say, the day and night are relentlessly passing. How well have I spent my time? Are you diligent? Or are you still with a lot of worldly aims? Understand? Hui Rong is not here. I was told by her, I think, she was the one who told me, because, or was it another person, I forgot. They have this training in Ziji. You go for their training. I think Sifu Zhongjian also got mentioned. They give you specific time to bathe. Everything from going in and coming out, not more than 10 minutes. How you do it, they don't want to know. So this is how strict they can be. Then there are many things. They just tell you this is how much time you need. Apart from that, it's worldly, mundane, nothing to do with the cultivation. I forgot whether it was Tzu Ji or Fo Guang. I think Fo Guang. Fo Guang San, sorry. So I make a mistake. It's Fo Guang San, I think. So there are these type of practices because they believe in really, really training you. Understand? You cannot tell them, I need time, I need what. But like the English saying goes, time and tide, T-I-D-E, wait for no man. These are nature's reality. It will pass by. You cannot tell time, please stop. I need more time to take my bath. You just laugh. Because if time is a reality that you can command, then can stop time. Then you can have more time. But just like what we understand, life is pretty uncertain for those who don't understand. But death is very certain. So death is a reality. It will happen. So we cannot assume that we will live until how old. Then we got time. Means what? Wait till I retire, I cultivate. Or wait till I am already without burden. My children all grow up already. Then I go full time. So all this is what the thought will tell you. But if you have the Dhamma, the wisdom, you will know that every day, every moment, every second, it is very precious, very important. You need them to cultivate. That's why I always tell you all, moment to moment life passes by. That is the only reality. What are you doing? You go and reflect deep into it. There is a lot of wisdom. I reflected many, many times on this. That's why I came to understand it so clearly that I can share with you. Past is already gone, future yet to come. The moment is the only reality and the highest in life. So moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? If you go through this meditation, you will know most of the time living beings are heedless, anasana, thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so, they don't understand life. They never live. Understand? So if you continue to be heedless, you will miss out on life. You can never be silent, aware, to be with the moment, to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life from moment to moment. Because every moment, you are busy thinking, worrying, planning, heedlessly lost in thought, arising the sankhara, arising the reaction of mind, the emotion, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the insecurity, then the sadness and all those things. Still worrying about this, worrying about, fighting about this, fighting about that, chasing after this, chasing after that, wanting to be right. Then with a lot of views and opinion. So if you are like that, then I don't think that is life. That is suffering. To me, if I have to come that way, I choose not to come. No point. Understand? If you can have this understanding and wisdom and this noble understanding leading to noble life, life can be very different. and there is a lot of joy, a lot of meaning. Your whole understanding is so different. There is real purpose in life. There is meaning to life. There is beauty in life. No matter what happens, there is so much joy, so much peace, so much love, and so much understanding. And this form of mind serves you well. You only need to know how to use it. Use it with wisdom and appropriately. Okay, the next one is, do I delight in solitude or not? This one is very useful, no? And I can tell you, even not a monk, I was doing this during my early day. I like to be alone. I just like to sit underneath the sky and I look at the star. Or I alone sit somewhere and just reflect, contemplate. Even when I go for tour or what, then sometimes even in the uni, we got this picnic or what they call field trip. Sometimes when they are there, they will all enjoy. Then I will sit somewhere silent. Then I will just do my reflection, contemplation. I like the silence. Until a lot of those people who know me, they call me monk. They say, in Hokkien, where I got a lot of Johor friends, southerner. They say, he's your lai liao. It's just like this life. You all call this Brother Song. Brother Song, feelings friend. The one that shaved. I think he must have gone for retreat quite long in India. So they call him monk though. Especially Joyce call him Wo Xiong Zai Le Zho. So this is how you can develop this ability to delight in solitude. I like to be alone. Then when I'm alone, I think very deep into life. When I was Form 5 and Form 6, my teacher, that Form 6 teacher, she marked my essay. You know what was the comment or not? She got a shock. She wrote there, rather deeply thought out. That time I was just a student, Form 6. Because the thing that I write that crossed my mind and my understanding was so different. So this part, I like it. Do I delight in solitude or not? This should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone forth. Then the next one is, have my practice borne fruit with freedom or insight, so that at the end of my life, I need not feel ashamed when questioned by my spiritual companion. This should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone forth. So as a monk, this is very important, asana. You feel shameful that you have not liberated your mind, then you will progress very well, asana. Because that is the purpose of going for renunciation, so that you can commit your life full-time to the cultivation. So this should be reflected upon. So bhikkhu, these are the 10 dhamma to be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone for. Okay, with this, we end the chanting. So now, we are on the last part. Q&A, then dhamma discussion and sharing. We are reviewing the daily mindfulness and dhamma notes given out earlier on. Then after that, we do our closing puja again. Okay, now we can maybe have more reporting of meditation. I think just now you all have about 40 minutes of quiet formal sitting meditation. So anybody who wants to report their meditation, you can report now. Of you, definitely somebody can report. Anybody want to report their meditation? You just report exactly what went through and whether you can develop it or not, so that I can guide you along, advise you, And you can at the same time after that ask questions. Anybody got any question? Oh, want to report? Ah, yes. Sister Yip. Afterward, Brother T, I saw him put out the hand already. Very good. Push it all up. Okay.
Brother
yeah.
T.
Yes.
We should not meditate when we are sleepy, is it?
Oh, no. Okay. You're off the thing. So, you all got a question, huh? She said, we should not meditate when we are sleepy. What do you all think? If we study, yes, I agree. If you are studying, you tired, you go and sleep. Very short nap. After that, you study very well. That one I agree. But meditation, when you tired, feel sleepy, not necessary, you shouldn't meditate. You go to other retreat, what do they tell you? Go and wash your face. Correct? They ask you to go and wash your face. They will never tell you to go and sleep. So, because that will encourage you to sleep. So what do you do when you are sleepy? That is a very good question. No? And I will be very frank with you. All those who are new, you will feel boring and sleepy, I tell you. Because you don't understand what this is. You're forced to sit. Like just now, the uncle next to you, I so happened, I was observing. He saw everybody sitting so quiet, I think he cannot sit, he looked around. So that was how the mind is, understand not? Because the mind that don't see the importance of this, it's just like you go and attend a class, a lecture. If you don't like that subject, what will happen? You feel very sleepy, very boring. You don't know what the teacher is talking about, and yet you are forced to stay awake. Then suddenly the teacher asks question, then he point to you. Then you like just wake up. You are caught. So when you lack passion or interest or understanding of the importance of that thing that you do, you will tend to be sleepy. And that is sloth and torpor. But sometimes, if because your body is too tired, you got not enough rest, not enough what they call food, not enough energy, you need to rest your body. That one is different. That one you feel sleepy where the body give you a sign and tell you, you need to rest, you need to sleep. But even that one, when it comes to meditation, I tell you, meditation is the best solution to sleepiness, if you understand. Because you can rest your body while meditating. And that is the best time to rest. And that is the best way to rest. And I like the lying posture. Understand? Well, the lying down posture is very relaxed and the most conducive. Because the leg, you don't have to cross it unnecessarily, blocking the chi. When I lie down, my chi, everything will flow very good, very soothing. Then I can actually aware from my nature, my heart. Then everything that happened, I understand how the thing move. Then this physical body, it has its purpose. It serves you in many ways. Understand? That's why when I'm lying down, anything you do and you say, I can perceive them. You don't think you're in the room talking, I don't know. But I will never listen to all this unless that nature got conditioned. Understand? During the early days, I remember, we used to go with some spiritual friend. We go for retreat, meditation, and all that. Then certain time we go for like our spiritual trip like that. Then at night, you know, they like to talk until late in the night. Then because most of the time I already understood what this is,
So I go and rest early because my body, that time, physical energy, not much. So throughout the day, if I on this trip, like tour, like our Huang San, Wu Tai San, we walk a lot. So I tired, I go, I sleep. Then they hear me snoring. Then they were talking. He said, they call me by Tio. He said, in Hokkien, they say, Tio Kun Liao, can talk. So they talk. Then next morning, wake up. I went for breakfast. I met them. Then some of them laugh. Means they were talking about me. Then I say, oh yeah, I heard what you all say. Everybody look at each other. Got a shock. Then when I start to relate what they share and what they talk, then they realize, next time, don't talk, is it? Because he can hear. One of the lady straight away don't believe, is it? I heard you snoring, you know. How can you hear anything? That is the beauty, because when I snore, I'm fully aware inside. I can't even be aware of my own snoring. How can I be aware of what you speak? And you speak very loud. You were trying to emphasize certain point, you know, to say. There are certain things that I went through and experienced, they cannot understand. So meditation is very beautiful. I remember when I was young, when I meditate, this sloth and topper came along. Then I knew, this one, nothing to do with my body tired. It's like, come and test me, you know. After quite long, I think for almost 2 or 3 years now, I already don't have this sloth and topper problem anymore. Then all of a sudden, got one sitting in the retreat, this sloth and topper come. No? It make me feel so sleepy, you know. It just, no reason, it just come. No? Then that time, I have some form of understanding already. Then I knew. I said, cannot be, I was not tired. Then my spiritual faculty were there. But how come this thing come? Then I remember my understanding that I developed through the contemplation and wisdom. Like I always advise you all, whatever happened, don't react, understand? Be at peace with that thing. Then I realize this is what I have to do. So I silenced my mind and I accepted that sloth and topper is one of the hindrances of mind, understand? So like the Buddha said, whatever happened, there are causes and conditions behind. So there must be something. I don't want to know what the thing. But I will accord and flow. I will accept this reality for what it is. I will not react. I will not stir my mind. I will not be at odds with it. I just silence my mind and just be with it. Understand? And you know what happened? All of a sudden, suddenly this love and topper is gone. Yeah. Then all of a sudden, there is this brightness or energy just come back. Then this nature just, a lot of joy inside, just suddenly like understood, it is a test, understand not? Sometimes after you already developed the understanding, gone through already, then you thought you are already okay, means you have the understanding. This thing come and test you, and the test can be very severe, I tell you. Because the most severe one was my mother's heart attack and my son's compound fracture together. 1989, I remember. If you fail, means you need to continue with your cultivation. Yeah. But the moment you pass, you clear, all this never come back anymore. That's why no more test, no more teacher, no more guide, nothing. Since 89. And during that time before, about that 1 or 2 year before 89, everything just happened, show it to you, the test, everything. So this sloth and topper, I remember, I just be with it silent. When the mind does not react, the nature, just be with it. Sloth and topper, sloth and topper. If you want to fall asleep in meditation, sleep. If I need to snore, snore. Understand? That was what I did. So I just said. Then suddenly, it just like shift of consciousness just happens. Then that sloth and topper gone. Then there was brightness, clarity. There was a lot of joy, virya. And then inside, like tell you, it is a test. So when you understand that it is a test, means this is how the mind, the nature, will come and create condition to test you. So when you understand that, sloth and torpor is no more a problem. You can give it a try. But initially it's not easy, especially when you are new. So there is no hard and fast rule as to what you must do. It depends on your understanding. If you really feel very sleepy, if you really need to rest your body, I suggest you do lying down meditation. Try it out, see how it goes. Even if you fall asleep, snore, never mind. First time you fail. But second time, maintain awareness. To maintain awareness, you must not force, no. If you force, that is not awareness, no. That is the mind trying to stay awake, no. Understand? You must relax. The key word is just relax, everything relax. That silence the mind, that's it. Don't think. And the best way to do it, I remember, when I was going through the training, nobody teach me, you know. Somehow I just relax and silence everything. 1988, 89, when I was doing all this. I just lie down, relax, because I got my last teacher who taught me. I met him, that was my last one. He showed me the gateway. He was the one who never cross leg on, he always sit down. He sit down or lie down, he meditate. He meditate sleeping on. So I lie down, then I also can do because I have this ability. Then the secret is, remember this, this one I never tell anybody, I think. Maybe my wife know. You assume you are dead. You know how to assume you are dead or not? A dead person is how? How is a dead person like? That one, the body is still, your consciousness no more there, understand? But your consciousness still inside there. You cannot do anything. That is like dead, isn't it? Correct? Like people, vegetable. Vegetable. You know what is vegetable? The consciousness inside. But it cannot command the body, understand? The hand cannot move, the leg cannot move, everything cannot move, understand? Because the nervous system, something wrong. But this one, you are perfectly okay, understand? But you cannot move. Because you are relaxing and developing the awareness to understand what is going on. I tell you, that was my best meditation breakthrough. When I was doing that, I was so surprised, though. I start to understand how tactile consciousness conditioned me to scratch, you know, especially itchiness. Or after you lie down in certain posture, you want to move, you know. That is all your habitual tendency, you know. You like to turn here, turn there. And some cannot sleep until the whole bed, also the bed sheet also upside down. And these are very common. And there are people who find it so difficult to have good sleep, you know. They sleep until the whole bed. You see also very messy. The next morning, you know, this guy don't have good sleep. So what happened was, when I was lying down, completely silent, then this tactile consciousness started to arise. Then I start to feel all my vibration everywhere. Every part of my body. I start to feel anywhere in my mind there, the vibration is there. That's why I can go to the heart. I can feel the heartbeat, the vibration. I don't need stethoscope. Then I can go inside the brain and feel everything inside there. Then my whole nature is very different. Then I start to see, you know, how this tactile consciousness conditioned me to do things. You know. Then I tell myself inside, you know, I have a choice there. I don't have to believe the thought in there. I don't have to believe what this, what they call mundane mind, tell me to do in there. So I start to develop this understanding that I can continue to allow things to be through my understanding, and I don't have to follow what the thought tell me or the conditioning of the mind and the habitual tendency tell me. Then later on, there were many incidents, even in the office or what. Sometimes you got work to do. Then you say, your bladder want to go toilet. You say, can still wait. You do until your bladder really cannot wait already. Understand? So during that time, you had to rush there because the impulse from the signal is so strong. You're scared. You cannot control and the thing just come out. So what happened was, there was a certain incident. I just tell myself, I decide not the thought anymore. The I is not a person. No. The I is the intelligence, no. The understanding inside. No. That this form of mind, I can use it. I use it with understanding. I know all this consciousness within the body, like pain, itchiness, they are the body's way of telling you something, understand? But if you develop the craving and scratch, what happened? Yeah? You will wound that place, correct? Yeah? Sometimes you scratch until, what happened? Yeah? They have this like infected, until sometimes blood also come out, understand? But the sign that tell you is means your body immune system is low, understand? Like you have this what they call allergy. You will scratch, understand? Then you have sometime other type of problem that will condition you to scratch. So all this is the body's way of giving signal to you. So if you know you need to attend to it, then you check with the medical people. Then after you take whatever medication that can help relieve the thing, then you realize it doesn't affect you anymore. But most people take antihistamine, correct or not? Well, the doctor knew the histamine is the one that trigger off all these things. So when you take antihistamine, it will help you temporarily. But you become dependent sooner or later. Then later I realized I can actually endure and go into my nature. Then this nature, somehow the pure energy can heal them. No? Yeah. But the funny thing about this pure energy is after you have used it for 20 over years, not only 20 over years, even initially after 10 over years, it's like whatever you eat, those medical Chinese medicine that can strengthen your health and what you call bǒ yǒu. Initially, if you haven't taken it before, first time is very effective, understand? You feel very good. It will make a big difference to your health. It improves it tremendously. But let's say you have been using this bǒ yǒu or health improvement type of food. Let's say you keep on buying, you keep on eating until your body is like resistant to it, immune already. With all this, the body is already like that already. And then if you still fall sick, what happened? Means this medicine will not do any more magic to you. So it's quite similar in the sense that, so when this pure energy has been inside there for so long, it clear what it's supposed to clear. Then later on, body is still a body. It will go the way of nature. That's why finally I came to understand and I came to accept this reality that it is like that. Anasana. No point trying to do all these things. For what? You want the body to be more healthy, stay longer. That's why the Buddha, during that time, I can understand why he only lived until 80. Whereas Ananda, Mahakasapa, every of his disciples, little one, most of them, not everyone, they live until 120 years old. No? Understand? No? You mean the Buddha don't know how to prolong his life? He sure know, but no point, because he was full of love and compassion. He is so compassionate, he got not enough rest, not enough sleep. He hardly rest more than 2-3 hours a day. So this body, like he told Ananda, is like a worn-out block card, understand? No? You know what is a worn-out block card? No? Anytime, give way, fail already. So he said, no point prolonging it. That's why he tell Ananda, they all, 90 days from that day, he will parinibbana, means he will leave this world. So when you have all this understanding developed, you will understand the reality of this form and mind. So the question, have I answered? Have I answered your question? So you try. You just silent and be with it. If it take you to sleep, sleep. You need to snore, snore. But maintain the relaxed state and just maintain awareness. When you relax and aware, then assume you are dead, and you find out for yourself. It's a very different experience. The leg want to turn, want to move, the body want to move, you tell the mind, no, I am dead, I cannot move. And then you see the craving, the desire to move, the desire to scratch, the desire to do a lot of things, especially itchiness, scratching. It can go until the consciousness, the tactile consciousness is so intense, but your mind can separate, understand? Body is just a body, mind is mind. And this is what the Buddha meant by Namarupa Pariccheda Jnana. Means this form and mind, they are separate entity. You can discern clearly between form and mind. Form is form, mind is mind. That's why it's Namarupa Pariccheda Jnana. The first of the 16 stages of jnana knowledge is to discern between the two, the form and the mind. So this one, different people have different understanding. For me, because I went through, I knew. And I know mind is mind, body is body. Because I went through a few tactile consciousness. First one was pain. Then the second one was itchiness. So all this, you can investigate into it. That's how I understand the form and mind very clearly. And this form and mind, the consciousness that the nature can trigger off through your senses, sense bases. You have your tactile. You have your seeing, your hearing, your smell, your taste, and your thought process. They follow nature's law. So you just silent your mind, develop the ability to be mindful inside. You will understand how they arise, how they sustain itself, and how they pass away. And you will come to realize a very profound truth. Everything in this universe is like that. All of phenomena is like that. They are all conditioned arising, causal phenomena, impermanent. The moment you grasp, cling and hold, give meaning, suffering will be the result. Then everything is empty, not what you think. He know you, he know me, no reality. End of the day, whatever that is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease. And because they are conditioned arising, is not a permanent unchanging entity that we can call, this is me, this is I. That there is a permanent unchanging entity within that you can own and possess eternally. You means like a soul, eternal soul, that continue to transmigrate from one form of mind to another form of mind. No, the Buddha say there is none. And I also can know because I came out of this body before. Then how this one come in again and how it continue with life, how the karmic force, how the life force, everything. In the meditation you can see it, how it trigger off consciousness. Then how you can actually allow it to cease, and all this life force, almost 99% or 99.9%, you can take it into your nature. It doesn't come out. That's why when I was doing that meditation from the nature, it's so different, because for you all, the life force come, it pump the heart. Then after that, this one, you use a lot of this energy in your thinking process, in your arising of the consciousness, to become conscious, to become what they call, I think mainly conscious of life, because you ought to know how to use the energy to be aware at that time. So a lot are wasted in the thought process. Then I realize when you channel into the nature, your senses, it doesn't pick it up. Doesn't pick it up. I remember I can switch it off at my mind base. That was 1987 or 88, I think. I was at Pansy Island. I took my whole family there. That time I reflect, I contemplate, I meditate. That was beautiful. I remember I was lying down. Then this life force came. Then I was experimenting with it. Every moment of awareness and consciousness, I can just switch it off, at the mind base there. And nothing came out. Then the whole nature is just aware. Normally, this one trigger off, then you start to see something, seeing consciousness. Then the mind create activity, emotion, everything. Then hearing consciousness. Then the brain, everything start to move. Then the sixth sense door condition the form of mind to become heedless, think a lot, and do all those things. But that moment when I cultivated that time, I was fully aware. Then I realized I can switch it off, and the mind be every moment it just disappear. Then the mind just aware like that, with full clarity. And it was at the resort area that time. So all these are possible, and you can do it if you develop the meditation or the training of the mind according to what Lord Buddha has teached. Actually, mindfulness is the most beautiful mind state that can connect you back to your nature. And that nature can allow you to develop the wisdom and the understanding to really, really become very different. Okay, with that, maybe we go on to the next one. Brother Tay. Yeah. Pass the mic to him.
Brother Teo, when you when we start meditating and you have taught us how to direct the mind to be aware of all those tension areas, the muscles, you know, and then we just relax it, Now, instead of having those muscles relaxed, when I focus for a split second, it is relaxed. After that, then it tends to tense up.
Become more intense.
And it's just like as if a stake is being
plugged
in straight through.
How long does it happen?
It's quite some time already. Each time I
Then meditate. you find it very difficult to relax. Good. Okay.
And the mind seems to be suspended. Able to.
I know.
To calm down.
Someone got anything you want to know? That is the main one.
Yeah. When I meditate, if I'm not distracted by this hardness,
I know.
The mind seems we are supposed to sink into the object.
No problem. You're rising and falling. Huh?
Yeah,
if you are used to it, you go there. Don't worry.
But I can't. It is as if you are just from the top. From there, you know.
I understand. Okay, very good. I will explain to you. Huh? You see, this consciousness that is trapped inside this body, you must understand what this is. Wherever you locate this consciousness, energy will build up. Understand? So, when I give instruction to do the mind sweeping method, you remember what I say? I just say you feel, then relax. Don't think. Understand? Don't think. But what happened in his case is because he used thought. Understand? He still cannot understand what is awareness. He used thought. Is it? Brother Teo advised me to direct our thought, understand, or direct the mind to the forehead and feel, relax. But the key word is feel. When you feel means what? Like your floor now. You put your hand there, huh? Brother Teo, you put your hand there. Just like in the transcript. Feel means what? The tactile consciousness, because this floor is very cold, understand what? So you have that sensation there, understand? And this sensation is just a feeling. But the moment your mind, through your memory and your conditioning, perceive it and react due to your views and opinion, then this word cold come about, understand not? Understand not? You don't like it. But when you feel before the conditioning, before the thought, before anything, there was nothing. It's just a feeling, a pure feeling. So when you feel your forehead, it's just the same. You just feel. Don't think and don't do anything. Don't try to direct. Don't try to focus there. Don't try to be there. Just feel. Like you feel the floor. Feel. Then let the phenomena tell you. Means when you feel, what happened? Like you say, like something's very spear or what, on your head or your brain there. So this is what you feel. Because the energy there will start to build up, understand? There are thought, because you are using thought-based meditation to try to understand it and try to do this. Actually, the mind sweeping method, there is no doing. It's just training the mind to be where you want it to be, so that it stay there and just aware. Most people have the initial problem of the mind start to tense, understand? Tension up. Because the moment you put your consciousness there, instead of feeling, it starts to tense up. Because this is where the brain is. And it responds to memory because of your conditioning from your past heedless way of arising thought. So here straight away energy build up. Then it's like very difficult to relax because you are fighting with this consciousness to relax. Then the fear will come, the doubt will come. What am I doing? Instead of becoming more peaceful, more relaxed, it is starting to build up, just like what Brother Day went through. This is a phenomenon that will happen if you are not used to that word which I use. You just feel, relax, don't think, don't try to do anything. You just feel. If it's not relaxed, like your muscle tense up, what you do? You just let it be, understand? Don't struggle, don't react, understand? Just let it be, relax. If you don't like try to do something to make it relax, the mind is not active. When the brain does not receive any more energy, it will just go free, understand? Go free means it will just be in the natural state. Then there is nothing up here. Then everything start to clear. So what you can do is, you try to lie down. Lie down. Don't sit. Because when you sit, you cross leg. All this will build up the pressure and the energy to go up and out to the brain. Then, like he said, last time he used to meditate by bringing it down to the rising and falling. Or the abdomen. Then your consciousness is not at the head. That's why you feel relaxed. Understand? you feel better, you can meditate. When your consciousness is here, and here no brain. So no brain means you try to develop the awareness of whatever that your mind can detect. But the trouble with most of these rising, falling yogi is they are not using the silent mind to detect the rising and falling. They are being conditioned by what they were told. Means what? Note. Note means what? Using something to note. What to note? The thought. Note. Understand? Means the mind wants to note. Understand? And who is noting? The thought is noting. That's why this one will trigger off. It's like you think it's the tea, it's mindfulness, but it's actually a thought there that's trying to be mindful. The thought is trying to be mindful. And the thought is busy meditating, understand? But if you can really understand what is mindfulness, you just silent and just feel. Means allow that silent mind to be. And then this silent mind will detect, understand? Like how it detects the breathing. How it detects your body. How it detects all the phenomena internally and externally. So the silent mind that is without thought is very sensitive because it don't think. When it don't think, it's fully aware. It can be aware of any of the six senses. It can be aware of everything that is within your form and mind because the consciousness is trapped inside. So wherever you direct that awareness and silence, then it becomes very sensitive. So what you can do is, next time, lie down. Don't try to sit like that. Just lie down. Or you got an armchair at home, you just lie down and relax. Then you do this mind sweeping method by assuming you are not trying to develop anything. You're just trying to relax. Understand? So trying to relax is very easy. You can start from your forehead, or you can start from any point, even your heart, your chest area, your buttock, or whatever. You just feel, then allow it to relax. Allow it to relax. Means don't try to relax. Just allow that thing to relax. Means naturally, it will relax. If you are not tense up, if you are not creating any reaction, then it will be naturally relaxed. So you use this mind differently. You don't try to do anything, don't try to think also. You just maintain awareness, means silent before the knowing. Then you feel. When you feel at the forehead, it's very close to the brain, the memory, and the thought keep on coming out. Understand? And when the thought come out, because you are not mindful enough, you cannot see them, and this is the one that actually tense it up. Make the membrane here like shrink. Then it tighten. When it tighten, you will feel the effect of it. Then like you say, like something very hard, pressure. So if you find it not conducive, means not suitable for you, then you don't want to use, you can actually bypass the mind sweeping. You just read it, metta, see how. Metta is from the heart, understand? Easier. Means don't go to your brain. Every time you go to your brain, you will have this effect on you. Okay? You try and see. Then when you are at the heart or at the abdomen, you are further away from the brain. So here, actually, you develop more awareness. You know how to just silence your mind. The heart or the abdomen or wherever, you just silence your mind. But abdomen, as far as I know, the gateway is not there. Finally, no matter how you do, you can develop mindfulness, sati, and all those things. You know how to do it with the silent mind. No different. It's just an object of meditation. But the danger of those type of practices, they slow everything down. The movement, they're supposed to slow down the mind. Understand? Because your mind think a lot, move very fast. You're supposed to slow down that mind. How do you slow it down? You slow it down by anchoring it to the body, kaya, understand? So that this mind, when it's aware of it, it cannot think, it cannot run, understand? So this is the purpose of kaya nupassana. means mindfulness of the physical form, physical movement, or the breathing, or the whatever object within this body, so that this mind stay with the body, and the body is always within the moment, so that you are within the moment, relaxed and peaceful without thought. That is the purpose of Kaya Nupassana. But what you all do is, you did the reverse. You slow down the movement. You slow down all your action, not your thought. But when your action all slow down, then you use that thought to note. You can only be like, you think it's mindfulness in a retreat environment. That's why they got sometimes good experience, good result, very peaceful, very little thought. Because the noting is so much less than the heedless thinking. But because you slow down your action to note, that's why it's very easy to note. Like I heard from one talk, this lady was teaching daily mindfulness, then he talked about this type of meditation. He said like the fan, it's very logical, is it? When it's slow, you can see the blade, how many blades, or you can see that. But when it's moving very fast, you cannot see, is it? So mindfulness is a, logically, you must slow everything down, then you can see clearly, understand? Very logical, isn't it? Logical or not? Very logical, isn't it? When you slow everything down, you can see very clearly, isn't it? But they never inquire. If I slow everything down, is the reality outside life also like that? Everything also must slow down. In the office, I must also standing, intending to walk, intending to do this. Then everything also slow. I tell you, you will lose your job very soon. Because this is not reality, not life. If you talk about this type of mindfulness, and you can only be mindful in this slow activity and situation, then it is not representative of life. Understand? When you are in the midst of real life, in the midst of activity, everything is moving according to the pace that is supposed to move. Understand? Because society has evolved, it has become more complicated, more complex. So if you cannot be mindful during those moments, then that type of meditation that you develop and train will not serve you, understand not? That's why when they come out into life, they cannot cope. They realize they hardly change. The habitual tendency, the anusaya, the latent tendency, they are all still there. They can still be afflicted, affected. Their mind is still not much different. It's only apparently when in the retreat they have all those beautiful experiences and state, then it's like they have transformed. But when they come out into life again, when they get involved with activity again, career or the thing, they lose their mindfulness, the so-called mindfulness. Understand? So you need to have this clear understanding that mindfulness is not about slowing down the action. It's about having a silent mind that can be aware of everything that is going on, no matter how fast. You talk about the fan, you think it's very fast. I can tell you the TV, you know how many pixels are not now, and everything is color now with all the sound system, everything, and everything is so fast now. And I can tell you, the mind can be aware of it, no problem. Because I went through that stage when I was cultivating in 1989, I think, 88, 89. There was one day, I was actually for quite a few months completely aware, mindful. Then suddenly one day I came back now from my work in my office. I was also doing the daily mindfulness. Then I used to sit. Yeah. Then I used to have this Dhamma investigation. Then I used to have this silent mind throughout the day. Heedful, mindful. Then suddenly I on the TV. All of a sudden I look at the TV. It's like nobody is watching. The TV, everything was so far off. Everything, the consciousness, the color, the seeing consciousness and the hearing consciousness is so clear. Everything is moving like extremely fast. like there was nobody seeing. Then the mind, that silent mind, saw this movement, that is so fast, but it can be with it, like that mind is with it, And there was so much understanding, That's why everything is just the way it is. Actually, it's moving very fast. But our thoughts slow it down, understand? We, through memory, through thought, through labeling, we get attracted to what the TV tells us, understand? The show, the actor, the actress, and the meaning, because we get absorbed in that. We never see the reality. So when I see things as they are, I no need to understand what the film is, understand? Then when I want to know, I can know. The awareness goes down and allow the consciousness to come out. Allow the aggregate of mind to come out. The perception, the hearing, then the meaning, everything. You can see, you can be at every moment of perception, every moment of activity of mind, every moment of feeling and consciousness. Everything is so clear. That's why the mind that is in sati, no problem with the speed. Because the mind that doesn't move is fully aware. And no matter how fast you move, this nature is with it. That's why it's very different. That's why when I realized that, I realized the true mind is so different. It can understand so many things. Okay, so you just continue to do walking better if that is the case. Walk until the mindfulness comes. Then later on when you go and sit, you can bypass all this mind sweeping method because from the way you describe, your past conditioning may be not suitable for this type of deconditioning. Or this type of skillful means, it may not help you that much. So you can skip that. And straight away go to rising and falling. But this time, don't go and look for it. Don't go and note. Just silent feel. Don't want to know. And then see what happens. When your mindfulness is there, suddenly when it detects the rising and falling, is your nature fully aware of that movement? That time, you will come and tell me what that thing is. And you will know how to describe what that thing is. Not what they used to tell you. When I was aware of my anapanasati, the breathing that time, like the whole breath, there is so much clarity inside. Everything that is going on within the breath, like I know it inside out. People cannot know, but that mindfulness inside can know. So much clarity inside. Because it's fully aware. So like this rising and falling, when the silent mind is fully aware, all the movement, everything, you will come to understand through the direct knowledge, not through a thought, not through a concept, not through an idea or a knowledge of what that thing is. Okay? Sadhu. So, that's why you must actually report your meditation. Otherwise, I don't know what you went through. So, like Brother T's case is very good. At least he asked. Then I can explain. Because not everybody can do certain type of meditation. Because everyone is different. Your karma different. Your background different. Your condition different. And you are what you are, unique because of your evolution through billions and billions of birth and death. So no two person is the same. Each and every one of us need to find out what is most suitable for you. And you need to develop the understanding of it so that you can develop the appropriate meditation to progress. Otherwise, you just gullibly listen, say, oh, Brother Teo say do this, this is the best, then you do. Don't. Like the Buddha said, investigate into everything. If it suits you, it works for you, use it. Otherwise, try your own, understand? Whatever that can allow you to be calm, peaceful, relaxed, and aware within, to train your mind to become mindful in sati, that is the right technique and the right method. That is the one that is suitable for you. So there is no hard and fast rule. Understand not? You don't become rigid. So all of teaching is the same. They come from people who had the understanding and the experience. Then they will share with you. Whatever I share, you have to reflect, contemplate, and develop your own understanding, and you try it. If it's suitable, use it. If it's not suitable, modify it. Or come out with your own understanding. That's why everything that I do, I remember. I actually didn't follow any instruction at all. I just do based on my understanding. And everything that comes about actually supported the meditation because I inherited it from my past. So if you have done it correctly, if you have that nature from the past, all this will come to you. You will inherit them again and you will know how to continue and move. But if you have developed a wrong type of cultivation or inappropriate type of meditation, you also will know, because you will realize that you will get trapped. You will get like blocked, like you cannot move, understand not? And there are quite a lot of cultivator and meditator like that. They came, sometimes they have condition, they meet up with me, then I talk to them. Then after a while I realize, in the past they have been doing this type of meditation, then they get trapped. Then now, because of their good affinity and karma in certain life, they make this type of aspiration, then they have condition to come back. And they have to get lost and get trapped in those meditation is because many lie, they also think this is the right meditation. They teach people, understand? Then people get trapped. That's like karmically come back, they also will go that way for a while. Then after that, the good condition will arise. Then they will meet up with the wise and the enlightened one so that they can be guided back. So whatever you do, you don't worry. You find out for yourself. You only need to be true and sincere to yourself. Then you will know. Because whether you still got emotion or not, you still got fear or not, you still got greed or not, you still got all the defilement or not, you will know, understand? Because you cannot lie to yourself, understand? When you live life, it's an open book, understand? You yourself will know. If you have transformed and changed, you yourself will know. And not only you know, other people can feel you too. Especially your loved ones, those who have affinity and relationship with you, they will see you as already very different. Your character, your personality, the way you do things is so different from last time. And that is progress. That is what they call the correct training and meditation. Okay, now it's about 9:05. You got any more questions or not? Maybe one last one before we do the closing puja. In 5 more minutes we do the closing puja, then we can rest so that you all can have a good sleep tonight. Tonight not so cold, I think weather. Some of you can still wear t-shirt. Okay, any more questions or reporting? Okay, you got no more, then maybe we will do the closing puja. Wait, I have to choose from here. Okay, page 26, with reflection on sharing blessings. Page 26. Okay, we need Joyce and Chuy, 26. Oh, the English translation is 27. 27. Okay, Joyce. That arises from my practice, may my spiritual teachers and guides of great virtue, my mother, my father, and my relatives, the sun and the moon, and all the virtuous leaders of the world, may the highest God and evil forces, celestial beings, guardians, spirits of the earth, and the Lord of death, may those who are friendly, indifferent, or hostile, may all beings receive the blessings of my life. May they soon attain the threefold bliss and realize the deathless. Through the goodness that arises from my practice and through this act of sharing, may all these desires and attachments quickly cease and all harmful state of mind until I realize Nibbana. In every kind of birth, may I have an upright mind with mindfulness and wisdom, austerity and vigor. May the forces of delusion not take hold nor weaken my resolve. The Buddha is my excellent refuge. Unsurpassed is the protection of the Dhamma. The solitary Buddha is my noble lord. The Sangha is my supreme support. Through the supreme power of all this, may darkness and delusion be dispelled. Okay. After that, what do we have? This one is sharing of merits. Okay. Reflection on well-being of universal well-being. 34, page 34. 3, 4. 35, the English translation, yes. You know how to sing or not this one? The universal well-being, may I abide in well-being, in freedom from affliction, in freedom from hostility, in freedom from ill will, in freedom from anxiety, and may I maintain well-being in myself. May everyone abide in well-being, in freedom from hostility, in freedom from ill will, in freedom from anxiety, and may they maintain well-being in themselves. May all beings be released from all suffering, and may they not be parted from the good fortune that they had attained. When they act upon intention, all beings are owners of their action and inherit its result. Their future is born from such action, companion to such action, and its result will be their home. All action with intention, be they skillful or harmful, of such action, they will be the heir. Okay, we have done these two reflections. Then maybe we will do the rest of the closing puja using our normal traditional Theravada chanting. We will just chant the Pali version tonight. We will do the sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika Punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakantu loka sasana itta vata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo itmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we will go and take rest.